All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Let's ask the Lord to bless, and then we'll get into the study of the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for the blessing that we have today, for your grace, your mercy, your kindness towards us. And we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that he died on the cross. And his blood is shed for the forgiveness of our sins, the remission of our sins. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to us, would guide us and lead us, Lord, into all truth, especially in the truths of the Word of God. I pray that we would take heed to the Scriptures, that we would understand them, and that we would receive it by faith and live it by faith, Lord. We love you. Ask your blessing on us. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 10. And we're marching through the book of Deuteronomy. So, kung naalala ninyo yung outline ninyo, tatlong bahagi ng Deuteronomy, there's three sections to Deuteronomy. The longest section is the middle section from chapters 5 hanggang chapter 26. That's the middle section, the word of the Lord. That's the theme of the book. The entire book of Deuteronomy, the theme is the word of the Lord or the word of Jehovah. And where should we hide the word of the Lord? In our hearts. So, pwede nating sabihin, the theme is the word in the heart or the word of the Lord in our heart. And so that's where the word of God needs to dwell. It needs to dwell richly in our hearts. So, now, sa loob ng ng gitnang section mula chapter 5 hanggang 26, merong tatlong bahagi yun. From 5 to 11, that's the Ten Commandments. Tapos from 12 to something else, to 26, okay, that would be the related commandments. And then what else? From 27 hanggang 30 is the blessings and cursings, or blessing and curses. So, yun ang three sections. Nandito na tayo sa dulo ng first na bahagi from chapter 5 to 11, the Ten Commandments. So we're wrapping it up here in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and 11. Hopefully we'll cover 11 today as well. But let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. We're looking at God's mercy is seen in that he restores the two tablets of stone. He restores the priesthood. And he talks about separation of the Levitical tribe and his exhortations to obedience. So if there's a key word in Deuteronomy, besides the word of the Lord, the key word would be obedience. Obedience. And so let's look at verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 1. At that time the Lord said unto me, hew the two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. So, anong ibig sabihin ng hew? So, hew is a word that just simply means to shape by cutting or chopping. So, God commanded Moses to chop or cut up some stone tablets. So, parang manipis na stone, and he'll be able to chisel in there the words of the Lord. And so we see that the Bible is a collection of writings. So in the early days of writing, you have tables of stone. Tapos, in later writing, it becomes table of clay. Katulad ng mga Kuyan forms. They are tables of clay, Babylonian tables of clay. Tapos, dumating din yung papyrus. Ano yung papyrus? That is a plant that grows most mainly in Egypt, around Egypt. And they take the leaves of the plant and they bash it together. And then they bake it in the sun. And then it forms paper. And then they can write on that paper. And that's a papyrus. Tapos, later, siguro mga 1100s, mga kapanunan ng 600 to 1100, merong vellum. Ano yung vellum? Yun naman, balat ng mga hayop. na ginamit na pangsulat na ginawang paper. Tapos, 1600s hanggang ngayon, we use paper. Pero believe it or not, in the 1500s, 1600s, or 1400s, ginamit din nila yung tela. There is the, what we call the cloth paper. Yung 1611 in the King James Bible was published and printed on cloth paper. So iba yung materiales nun. It's a little more enduring than today. So, tingnan mo yung wisdom ng Panginoon. He wanted to preserve His words, so He wrote it in stone. So now, why is stone so important? Why is writing in stone important? Because you can't change that easily. It's not like today. We're in the digital age. So yung kapanahon natin ngayon, digital age. Delete. Ay, nako, anong ginawa ko sa document na yun? It's deleted, it's gone. Or corrupted files. Oh, virus. Oh. Okay? So, a stone tablet doesn't get deleted easily. A stone tablet will endure for centuries. Whereas paper, siguro the life of paper, ano yung tawag natin, biodegradable? How long is that gonna last? Probably maybe 200 years or 150 years. And it's just going to be ashes by then. So, the Lord knew what He was doing when He wanted to preserve His writings. He started with stone tablets. And those writings, those words, have been preserved according to the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Let me look at that. It's a great verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. So, did Jesus have the law that God gave Moses during His day? Yes. Has the law been fulfilled? Not yet. Partial lang ang fulfillment. If there is a fulfillment, it's very partial. Because marami pa na hinaharap natin that needs to take place in order to fulfill the law, including the dissolving of the world. And so, heaven and earth shall pass. It really will pass. But the words of the Lord shall not pass until all be fulfilled. And so we see the promise of preservation in the day of Christ. So preserve talaga yung word. So is the word preserved for us today? Do we have the words of God today? Yeah, where do we find the words of God today? In the Bible. Okay, is it all the Bibles? No, it's not all. Everything that says Bible on it is not the word of God. Which Bible has all the words of God in it? Not the King James. In English, it's the King James Bible. Okay? So, we have a very accurate, faithful word available for us today. We can search the Scriptures. We have the comfort of the Scripture. We have the hope. We have the promises. We have God's Word preserved through the Bible. Faithful translation. And so, Jesus had the law, we have the law, and we can thank God for preserving His word. Alright, now, balik tayo sa chapter 10, verse 1. At the time, the Lord said unto me, hew. So now, that's a vocabulary word. Lagay niyo yun sa vocabulary word niyo. Hew, that means cut or chop by... shaped by cutting or chopping. Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount. Make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest, that thou shalt put them in the ark. So, may kopya ng mga words na ilalagay sa loob ng furniture ng ark. The table that is in the tabernacle will contain a copy, the second copy of the original. And I made an ark of shittim wood. Acacia tree ang shittim. That is acacia. So, nakita na ba kayo ng acacia tree? Oh, ang daming acacia tree sa Pinas. Imagine, yun ang tree na ginamit para panghugis sa tabernacle furniture. Yung table na nandun sa loob ng tabernacle. And hew the tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mountain, having two tables in mine hand. Verse 4. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And the Lord gave them unto me, and I turned myself and came down from the mount and put the tables in the ark, which I had made, and there they be, as the Lord commanded me. So Moses was faithful to deliver a copy of that, and now it is preserved in the Ark of the Covenant, that table in the tabernacle. Verse 6, and the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth, and the children of Jaakan to Moserah, and there Aaron died, but there he was buried. And Eleazar, his son, ministered in the priest's office in his stead. So Aaron was the first high priest. Who is the second high priest? Eleazar, his son. And remember, Aaron had four sons. You remember the four sons? Ithamar, Eleazar, and Nadab and Abihu. Is that right? Nadab and Abihu? Let's go to Leviticus chapter 10. Let's verify. Ayo, ha? It is Nadab and Abihu. Yeah. So Leviticus chapter 10, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took in them their censer, put fire therein, put incense thereof, and offered strange fire before the Lord. So ano nangyari kay Nadab and Abihu? Dahil nag-alay sila ng apoy na hindi naman tinanggap ng Diyos, na sinunog sila ng Diyos bilang judgment sa kanila. So, ang natira na lang sa mga anak ni, sa apat na anak ni Aaron, si Ithamar, si Eleazar, Nadab, Abihu, namatay yung dalawa, si Ithamar at si Eleazar na lang. So, malamang si Eleazar ang mas matanda kay Ithamar, so siya ang naging high priest nung namatay si Aaron. So you see there's orderliness here. Verse 7, from thence they journeyed into Gudgoda, and from Gudgoda to Jobbah, and the land of a land of rivers and waters. Verse 8, so God's merciful kasi preserve niya yung law. Hindi niya tinakwil yung children of Israel nung binali nila yung law. Inilagay niya sa tabernacle. Preserve niya yung priesthood nung namatay si Aaron. Alam mo, si Aaron, hindi naman siya perfect high priest kasi gumawa siya ng Diyos-Diyosan. So, pwede na rin siyang itakwil ng Diyos, pero preserve pa rin ng Diyos yung opisina niya. Tapos, dito makikita natin, preserve pa rin ng Diyos yung tribu ng Levi, even though lahat ng mga tribes ay naging taksil doon sa wilderness. Verse 8, and at the time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless his name unto this day. Wherefore, Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. So naalala natin yung Levites, yung mga Levites. So lahat ng mga tribes, nagkaroon sila ng mga ari-arian. Nagkaroon sila ng land promises. Except for the tribe of Levi. So bakit yung mga pare, wala silang lupa? Kasi hindi dapat sila mag-alala ng makamundong bagay. They should not think of the world, and they should minister unto the Lord. So yung focus nila dapat sa Lord. So sa New Testament ngayon, sino ang mga pare sa New Testament? Huh? You are believers, yes. Yeah, well, Jesus is the high priest and apostle of our faith, yeah. But who are the priests today? Believers. We can go to God. We are His priests. So, what is our land inheritance in the millennial kingdom? What land are we going to inherit as New Testament believers? Wala, nothing. So what is God trying to teach us? We're to focus on Him. We're not to focus here on earth. Our focus is not the kingdom of heaven. That's important eschatologically, sa prophecy. That's very highly important. But what does a New Testament born-again Christian have to do with Israel? Nothing. Except for the spiritual blessing. And so where are we going to be in the millennial kingdom? Where do we live? Are we going to come back? You're going to come back to the Philippines? Huh? Napin niyo yung Pilipinas? Sabi ng Bible, yung mga island, lulubog. Eh, island naman tayo. Oh, may 7.7 nga dun sa Japan. Diba? May 7.1 dun sa south. Dun sa before Japan. Nandun na yung earthquake sa dagat. 7.7 din. Ang lalakas ng mga earthquake ngayon. What is that? So, ang concern ng Kristiyano, hindi earth. Ang concern ng Kristiyano, yung my Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. So, heaven. Kung meron tayong mamanahin natin yung heaven. Kapiling tayo ng Diyos, and never to be separated from Him. And so, now yung Israel, meron silang special privilege na sila ang magiging pangunahing saksi ng Diyos sa mundong ito sa kapanahonan ng Kingdom of Heaven, Millennial Kingdom. Eh, sa wala pa tayo sa Kingdom of Heaven, sino ang pangunahing saksi ng Diyos ngayon? Believers. Oh, kaya dapat we are witnessing and we are the primary tool na ginagamit ng Diyos ngayon is the local New Testament Biblical Church. And God uses that today. Now, when Jesus comes back, He's going to return. We will not find a New Testament Biblical Baptist Church anymore. He's returning back to the temple. He's returning back to Israel. Wala na yung local New Testament Biblical Baptist Church. And He's going to return everything to the Old Testament. Everything. So, exciting times ahead for sure. Alright. So, verse number 10. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days, 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. So Moses is saying, look at the mercy of God. He restored the law. He restored the priesthood. He restored the tribe of Levi. And now He spared Israel from judgment because I intervened. I prayed for you. So Moses is a picture, a type of Christ. Because Jesus Christ intervenes for us. Kaya hindi tayo hahatulan ng Diyos dahil yung prayers ni Jesus Christ ay tumatayo bilang representative natin. And so, we avoid the judgment of God because of Jesus' intercession. Israel avoids the judgment of Jehovah because of Moses' intercession. Moses, the picture of Christ. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So now Moses, send them off. Let's go. You're going to move from Canaan to Jericho and take over the land, Moab to Jericho and take over the land of Canaan. Verse 12, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? So Israel, before you go in, this is what God wants you to do. Now, ulitin ito. This is again a repetition. It is Deuteronomy. A second rehearsal of the same thing. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and this is what I require of you. And it's going to be funny though, kasi pagdating natin sa Deuteronomy 30, sasabihin ni Moses, before na bitawan ko kayo, ulitin ko ito uli. Kasi ang tigas ng ulo nyo. And that is true. It's just true. It's human nature. So we're hard-headed. The Lord would design a local church to remind His people they're hard-headed. That's how hard-headed we are. No different. He dealt with Israel hard-headed. And now He deals in the New Testament church hard-headed Christians. Verse 12. And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God? Has that changed? Do we still fear the Lord? Amen. That's the beginning of wisdom, if you fear the Lord. It's your relationship to God matters. And the fear of the Lord is a theme all throughout the Bible. It's one of the greatest theologies of the Bible is the fear of the Lord. Fear the Lord thy God to walk in all His ways. So if you're not walking in all of His ways, you do not fear the Lord. And to love Him. So if you do not walk in all His ways, and you do not fear Him, you don't love Him. You can say you love the Lord, but if you don't obey Him, you don't love Him. How do I know that you love the Lord? If you obey, then I know you love Him. That's what Jesus said. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. So, does God expect us to keep His commandments? Yes. Do we keep His commandments today? Yes. Now, we're enabled by the Holy Spirit of God to keep His commandments. That's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So, Old Testament, yung Holy Spirit, He does not dwell, the Old Testament believer. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. So the believer has the divine help that enables him to obey the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So kung meron kang gustong gawin para sa Panginoon, palagi kang mag-depend sa Holy Spirit. Lord, send me the Holy Spirit's power. Enable me, strengthen me, comfort me, guide me, and always depending upon the Holy Spirit. Because without the Spirit, we will fail like Israel. Okay? So, God expects us to keep the words. That's to protect. That's to observe. That's to have. And to hold. From this day forth, till death us do part. Okay? God wants us to keep His word. So, at sa nakikita niyo? In our immediate future, are we going to transition from the King James Bible to another Bible? No. Why not? Why not? Mas easy ang no King James, di ba? Mas easy ang ESB. Lalong mas easy yung NIV. Pero bakit hindi tayo magta-transition? Bagong taon, it's New Year. Maybe we need a new Bible. Don't you think? No, we don't need a new Bible? Do we need to update these words? Huh? King James 2.0? 04? No. Because if we do that, we violate the scriptures that tell us to keep His words and to keep His commandments. You don't keep something when you replace it with something far inferior. You lose a lot. So modern Bibles today, and I will have some time in the future planned where I will teach about the text and translations. I'll give you a history lesson there. But it's based upon the Bible. So modern translations today are equivalent tanggalin yung sa New Testament, if we took a modern translation, the equivalent is we're getting rid of 1 and 2 Peter. Just those two books. So we're down two letters. If you add all the omissions and changes between the modern Bible and the King James Bible, you will have an equivalent loss of 1 and 2 Peter. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to lose any of the words of God? No, nobody does. Nobody wants to do that. Not even the modern Bible advocate would go for that. And the reason why is they just haven't studied it. They haven't looked into it. They just take for granted that the King James Bible is just an old English Bible. They don't understand, oh, there is a history. There is a biblical basis for holding to this particular English Bible. Okay? Now, this is not the only English Bible that is approved of the Lord. And there's also the Greek New Testament, if you want to learn Greek. Ang problema sa Greek, merong lima or anim na Greek text na pwede mong piliin. Which one has the words of God in it? Oh. So, sa Hebrew, merong apat. There are four Hebrew texts for the Old Testament. Which one contains the word of God? So you have to make your mind. You have to make your decision. Everybody has to make that decision. Do we have the words of God or do we do not have the words of God? And if you don't have it, then it's not there. If you don't have it, you don't have it. So either this is the preserved words of God, God's holy word, or it's nothing. So that's how bad it is. So did God expect Israel to keep His words? Yes. Does God expect the local New Testament biblical church to keep His words? Yes. Does God expect the believer to keep His words? Yes. So are we going to keep His words? All right. Okay. So verse 14. Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, and earth also with all therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and He chose them their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Verse 16, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. Be no more stiff-necked. By the way, I looked at the word heart again. Diba, nag-verify tayo last time. Mali si Google. 21 ang binanggit ko. I mentioned last week, 21 times the word heart shows up. It's not 21 times in the book of Deuteronomy. It's 43 times in the book of Deuteronomy. Imagine that. So really, the word of the Lord in the heart is pretty much the idea of the book of Deuteronomy. So verse 16 is a very key word. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. Be no more stiff-necked. Huwag kayong maging matigas ang leeg. Stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh away reward. He doth execute judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, he is thy God. He hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for a multitude. So, napakakunti ninyo nung pumunta kayo sa Egypt. Remember the brothers of Joseph? They were just so very few. Jacob was in there too, their father. And when they left Egypt, they were 2 million. Around 2 million is the estimate of the Bible. So great multitude. Man, that's amazing. So now they're going to go into Canaan. The Lord's just reminding them of these great things. So verse 11, or chapter 11, Deuteronomy 11, the word of the Lord and the blessings and curses. So verse 1, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments, commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which ye have not known, which ye have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, his stretched out arm, and his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all this land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, and unto the chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. What he had did to you in the wilderness until ye came into this place, what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, and how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and their substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. Verse 7, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong, go in and possess the land, whether ye go to possess it, that ye may prolong your days in the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them and to their seed, a land that floweth milk and honey. So God promised special provision, special protection for obedient Israel. So this is a special dispensation. This is a special time. What power did Israel have to overcome Canaan? Nothing. They were small. Yes, 2 million of them, sure. But 300,000 armies against Canaan? All the cities of Canaan? How could they take over? Well, God said, if you obey and keep and hide the words of God in your heart, He will do the impossible for them. And the Lord is faithful. Verse 10, for the land whither ye go in to possess it is not the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot in the garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go in to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, and the land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. So is God interested in the land of Israel? Yes. So he said it's a land of hills and valleys. Now we don't have the Bible geography books out. I won't get that out until we need it. Most likely when we go through Joshua, we're going to need that. But yung topography, no, yung topography ng Israel. Yung coastland, there's the Mediterranean Ocean, the coastal plain, then the Shephelah Valley, may mountain, tapos valley. Tapos yung hillside, yung countryside, pataas na naman. Tapos yung Jordan River, pababa na naman. Tapos yung Trans-Jordan Valley, paakyat na naman. So, kung makita natin yung layout ng bansa nila, talagang parang Pilipinas. It's almost like the Philippines. So, yung Manila Bay, tapos akyat yung sa Manila, tapos dun sa Tuktukan, kaya nga Tuktukan, I don't know, is that right? May mas mataas pong mga valleys, di ba? Ano yung mount dun sa, ano? Dun sa Tagaytay? Makiling ba yun? Kiling? Ha? Makiling, no? Makiling? Have you ever seen that? It's a beautiful mount. No? Tapos, pero wala tayong, ano ha? Wala tayong, yung Makiling dun lang, no? Wala, hindi siya nag-extend. So, we're not similar to Israel at all. Pag-ganun tayo. We're like that. Ang Israel, pag-ganun. So anyway, so the Lord said that here. But the most important land on earth is Israel. So the small nation of Israel, the small land of kaliit-liit ng Israel, kalaki ng Palestine, kalaki ng Arabia, kalaki ng mga Jordanians, Syria, kalaki ng Egypt, kalaki ng Africa, kalaki ng mga Middle Eastern countries, kaliit-liit lang ng Israel. But God put his eye on Israel. That makes Israel the most important real estate sa buong mundo. It's the most important real estate. So, someday we need to go. I don't know. I have faith in my heart that someday we'll take our flock there and we'll do a tour of Israel. Amen? Kain tayo ng fish at saka ng couscous. You eat couscous? Alam ba ninyo yung falafel? Pagkain ng Israel. Ang falafel ay chickpeas. Ano yung chickpeas sa Tagalog? Chickpeas. Oo. Ano siya? Para siyang hominy, ang tawag doon. Hominy or chickpeas. Kulay brown. Para siyang yung green peas na brown, pero malaki. Na parang mani. It's almost like a corn. Hominy. Chickpeas siya, na dinurog-durog, tapos pinak na parang bola, tapos deep fried. So, ano siya? Protein siya, yes, but also carb. Tapos, lalagay sa isang bread na parang pita bread or parang naan or something like that. Tapos, lalagyan ng sauce, kain. Ang tawag doon, falafel. Gutom na kayo? Punta tayo sa BGC, mayroong doon nagtitinda ng falafel. At, dadalhin ko yung Hebrew Bible ko para turuan tayo mag-Hebrew doon. May nagpa-falafel doon. Falafel. When you eat falafel, you will feel awful. Anyway, so we have that. Anyway, so maybe we should learn some Hebrew to prepare for the kingdom of heaven. Anyway, verse number 10, chapter 11, verse 10. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it. Oh, okay, I read that already. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently to my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, and that thou mayest gather thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. I mean, the Lord is just zeroing in on the heart. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain. And the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Environmental problems are a direct result of sin. And this, we saw this in Exodus. We saw this in Leviticus and Numbers. We see it again in Deuteronomy. Now the world, yung lipunan natin, ang isip nila, scientific. It's just the problem here is scientific and environmental. Plastic emission, carbon emission, and so on. Global warming. The world will tell us all different kinds of things, but the Bible's singular and clear. The problem with environment is not science. It is sin. It's a moral problem. Verse 18, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be frontlet between your eyes. So yung word frontlet, ang ibig sabihin ng frontlet, para siyang yung sa kabayo, you do the kalesa, no? Yung horse, nakikita natin yung horse, meron siyang ganon. Ba't nilalagyan ng ganon yung kabayo? Para makafocus yung kabayo, hindi nyo makita yung mga nangyayari sa paligid. Kasi pag nangangalesa yan, pag nakakita yan ng jeep, nako! Oo, ano yun? Mabugabog. Talagang tatakbo yan. And so, frontlets. God wants them to have frontlets between your eyes. Focus on the Word. Hide it in your heart and in your soul. Verse 19, teach them to your children. Speak of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. This is, he said this again in chapter 6. He's repeating it. Again, repetition, huh? Good teacher. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, and do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to cleave unto Him, then will the Lord drive out all the nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. So the key here is the obedience. If you obey, I will bless, and you will conquer things greater than yourselves. Every place wherein the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, and from the river and the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as He saith unto you. So, nandito tayo sa plains of Moab, papasok tayo sa Canaan, yung takot ilalagay ko sa tao para sila'y matakot sa inyo. See how the Lord controls. Even the fear, He brings it in. That's the Lord. He prepares everything. Our responsibility is obedience. Yun lang ang responsibility natin. Verse 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside, that's apostasy, out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye had not known. And it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Ebal. And they are not on the other side of Jordan. By the way, the sun goeth down in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the campaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Moreh. And ye shall pass over Jordan to go into possess the land your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein. And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgment which I set before you this day. So the heart of the law is the law in the heart. That's what God wants. And so in the New Testament, when Jesus summarizes the law, He summarizes it as loving God and loving your neighbor. So, and this is based upon Deuteronomy chapter 11, chapter 10 and 11. So we see the impact that Deuteronomy has in the New Testament as well. All right, so we have those two chapters. Next week, we will embark on the last section from chapter 12 to chapter 26 on related commandments to the Ten Commandments. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father, we thank You for the precious words of God that we can hide in our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to obey You. Help us to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. We have an advantage compared to the Old Testament. We have the Holy Spirit and His words and the wisdom of God. I pray we put it to practice, put it to our life, that we may see You do the impossible things that are greater than us that we cannot handle. We ask that we would be obedient in everything. Help us to learn these words and to hide them in our hearts. We love You. We ask Your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.